stand-up historian. Those who tell stories rule society.
Hillbound, on freedom, security, and the illusion of liberation. Why liberation without risk is not freedom. William Wallace, Prometheus, and the illusion of liberation. At the end of Braveheart, William Wallace is no longer a political figure. His body is broken, his future erased, his will reduced to a scaffold and a blade. By every modern metric, he's unfree. And yet, with his final breath, just before beheading, he shouts a single word, freedom. This moment resists easy interpretation. Wallace does not die in freedom. He dies for it, not for his own. He has none left, but for the freedom of others. He gives what he does not possess, seemingly. He affirms what he cannot enjoy. This is the first rupture in our understanding. Freedom. Here is clearly not security. It is not safety, continuity, or protection of the body. It is something that survives even when the flesh is fully owned by power. Freedom, then, may not belong to the body at all. In this essay, I argue that freedom is not the condition of being protected by systems, but the capacity to act truthfully without guarantee, even at the cost of safety, status, or survival. When freedom is mistaken for security, liberation becomes condition, and human beings become manageable rather than sovereign, an ill-bound god. When on the heights of the Caucasus, Prometheus found that chains, clamps, strait waistcoats, parapets, and other scruples had on the whole a numbing effect on him, for a change, he turned to the left, stretched his right arm, and between the fourth and fifth hours of an autumn afternoon, walked down the boulevard which leads from the Madeleine to the opera. From Prometheus Ill-Bound by André Gide. This unsettling realization brings us naturally to Prometheus Ill-Bound, a work that begins where revolutions usually end. Gide's Prometheus is neither triumphantly liberated nor brutally restrained. He's malchained, he's ill-bound, loosely constrained, half free. Zeus has not been dramatically overthrown. His authority has simply weakened. The punishment has lost its inevitability. The chains no longer bite as they once did. And yet, the eagle still feeds. Gide's question arrives quietly but decisively. If the chains are loose, why does bondage remain? Zeus and the myth of absolute freedom. In classical imagination, Zeus appears to own freedom. He commands, he decides, he's unconstrained, but Gide subtly dismantle his illusion. Zeus's power exists only through recognition and obedience. His freedom depends entirely on the submission of others. What masquerades as divine freedom is, in fact, total control. This inversion matters because it reveals a deeper truth. Absolute power is not freedom. It is dependency on domination. The ruler who must be obeyed is never free. His authority binds him as tightly as it binds his subjects. Was Prometheus ever free? Before his punishment, Prometheus was an insider, trusted, protected, embedded within the ruling elite of Olympus. By modern standards, he possessed freedom, security, status, immunity. And yet, he chose to give fire to humanity. This act was not whimsical. Fire is agency, knowledge, self-direction. By giving it away, Prometheus risks everything. His so-called freedom vanishes the moment it is exercised against the system that granted it. Here we confront a disturbing possibility. What we often call freedom is merely security granted by a system that oversees society. Prometheus was not free when he was safe. He became free only when he acted in a way that made safety impossible. In this, he mirrors Wallace. Both choose freedom before possessing it. Both sacrifice bodily security for a freedom that transcends them. What begins as freedom of mind becomes, through sacrifice, freedom in flesh, not as survival, but as truth made visible. Freedom is not security. This distinction must now be stated plainly. Freedom is not to be mistaken for security. Security can be granted, managed, revoked. It is administered by systems, states, markets, institutions that oversee behavior. Security promises continuity of life. Freedom promises nothing. External freedom in the modern age often amounts to conditional security. The permission to move, speak, or choose so long as one remains legible, compliant, and non-threatening to the system that provides it. It exists within legal and social contracts whose withdrawals exposes how little was ever owned. When the permission is revoked, freedom disappears. Because it was never possessed, freedom is not boundlessness. It is authorship under constraint. The refusal to outsource meaning, even when submission would be easier. Belief, change, and counterfeit meaning. A necessary self-critic must be made. Beliefs are not to be mistaken for chains. Human beings cannot live without a structure. Human society would not exist without a structure, meaning, or orientation. Not all limits are oppressive. Not all commitments enslave. But Judea exposes a danger with surgical precision. Counterfeit beliefs build cages for both body and soul. These are beliefs adopted without examination, inherited without consent, enforced through fear, conformity, or coercion, designed to relieve responsibility rather than awaken it. Such beliefs do not merely regulate behavior, they colonize interior life. They teach people to feed the ego themselves. The eagle reborn, progress as the new chain. Let me go back to another part of the book. In Prometheus Illbound, Judea allows Prometheus a moment of terrifying honesty. In his first public speech, Prometheus reveals that the eagle was never merely Zeus's invention. It was already waiting. Having made men in my image, I understood that in every man there was something hatching. In each one was the eagle's egg. I was not satisfied with giving them consciousness of existence, I also wished to give them a reason for existence. This confession shatters the myth. The eagle is not imposed from above. It emerges from within. Humanity already contains the hunger to be consumed by meaning. So Prometheus feeds it. I gave them fire and all the arts which a flame nourishes. By warming their minds, I brought forth the devouring faith in progress. Fire becomes reason, reason becomes technique, technique becomes progress, and progress becomes the new eagle. He continues, no more belief in good, but the morbid hope for better. Here Jade delivers his most devastating diagnosis. Good, an ethical anchor rooted in being, is replaced by better, an endless postponement of meaning. Purpose is no longer found, it is deferred. Humanity is kept moving, optimizing, exhausting itself in service of a future that never arrives. Progress does not liberate. It justifies suffering. And Prometheus admits he was strangely happy watching humanity consume itself in service of it. This is not cruelty. It is recognition. Our eagle is our reason for existence. The chains have changed form, but they have not disappeared. Cocles and Democles, the two ways we avoid freedom. Jide does not leave Prometheus alone in bewilderment. He surrounds him with figures who reveal how most people respond to freedom they cannot bear. Cocles is blind, but his blindness is not merely physical, it is existential. He lives safely, obediently, guided by structures he does not question. He does not ask whether he's free, he asks only whether he is protected. Cocles represents the modern temptation to confuse freedom with security. He trades sovereignty for supervision. He's not oppressed, he's managed. Democles stands at the opposite pole. He's not blind, but anxious. He believes freedom lies in proximity to power, status, recognition, authority. Yet the closer he stands to power, the more fragile he becomes. Democles mistakes power for freedom. His bondage is psychological, not legal. He's free in body, but enslaved in spirit. Together, Cocles and Democles reveal the two dominant strategies for avoiding freedom. Submit and be protected. Serve power and be validated. Both offer security, neither offers sovereignty. Prometheus stands apart because he refuses both blindness and proximity. He chooses neither managed safety nor borrowed authority. He chooses risk without guarantee, and he pays for it. Liberation and the problem that follows. In Prometheus Ill-Bound, the chains loosen, Zeus fades, external domination weakens, and then nothing happens. Prometheus wonders, he hesitates, he continues his ritual suffering, voluntarily. Why? Because liberation does not teach one how to live with freedom. External chains can fall while internal structures remain intact. Habit, guilt, identity, and the need for coherence, persists. Total freedom, the absence of all bounds, is not liberation, it's the solution. Was the exile of Adam and Eve liberation or beginning of consciousness endowed by creation itself with a yearning they could not yet understand? Modern societies define freedom politically: democracy, representation, majority rule. These are real achievements, but they are also constructs. They contain an unresolved contradiction. The individual is the smallest minority, yet must submit to the will of the majority. Even when the majority is manipulated, anesthetized, or captured, when the majority is compromised, external freedom becomes procedural. Consent becomes symbolic, submission becomes normalized. At that point, freedom collapses into security, and security becomes contingent. Materialist and Marxist critics rightly warn that inner freedom can be abused as consolation. Hunger, coercion, and inequality are real. No honest account of freedom denies this. But material liberation presupposes something it cannot generate on its own: recognition of injustice, refusal of inner consent, willingness to act without guarantee. These are interior acts. Even class consciousness is not material, it's perceptual and ethical. History shows revolutions that succeed materially and reproduce domination. External chains fall, but the human relationship to authority remains unchanged. Internal freedom is not a substitute for political freedom. It is its precondition. Freedom is heavy. It demands responsibility without guarantees and meaning without commandments. When societies achieve external freedom without cultivating internal freedom, they grow tired. The strong man offers relief. Order instead of uncertainty. Direction instead of self-authorship. Security instead of freedom. This is not always cruelty. Often it is exhaustion. Being the author of your own life takes a lot of authenticity and efforts. What freedom is and what it costs. Freedom is not comfort. Freedom is not safety. Freedom is not survival. Freedom is the capacity to act beyond oneself, to affirm meaning before possession, to risk dignity without guarantee, to give what one does not hold or own. By this measure, William Wallace dies free. Prometheus becomes free when he gives fire. Many free societies remain ill-bound. Freedom is not the glorification of suffering. Suffering has no inherent virtue. Freedom lies in the refusal to grant inner consent to domination, even when suffering is imposed externally. I'll repeat this. Freedom lies in the refusal to grant inner consent to domination, even when suffering is imposed externally. Prometheus ill-bound does not deny liberation. It denies fantasy. If liberation means the absence of all bounds, it's impossible. We cannot escape morality, interdependence, or the need for structure. True liberation is lucidity, knowing which bounds are inescapable, refusing counterfeit beliefs, distinguishing freedom from security, and ceasing to feed the ego unconsciously. Freedom is not something we arrive at. It is something we risk, sometimes even before we possess it. And perhaps the final test of freedom is this. Would we still choose it even if all it gave us was the right to stand unbroken?
Article by Kurosh Tari, published on standuphistorian.com.